Philippians chapter 2, verses 16 through 18. Let's pray. Our Father, we ask that you would help us now to hold fast to Christ by the means by which you have given us to do that, holding fast to words, knowing that through them you are giving us the Lord Jesus' eternal life. And we pray that you would set him and his glory and the blessedness of being openly acknowledged as your children for unending ages before us, so that we might find this worthy of strenuous effort and worthy of great rejoicing. So grant your Spirit's ministry to us, not only that we would have understanding, but that these your words would come home to our hearts, which we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Well, verse 16 picks up in the middle of the sentence that we began last week in verses 14 and 15. So we'll read verses 14 and 15 and then we'll go into our text in verses 16 through 18 in Philippians chapter 2. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. So far, the words of God. Well, as we picked up in the middle of the sentence, we were thinking about sanctification and how we grow in our family resemblance as children of God, and then and therefore grow in our distinction from a world that is crooked and perverse. And that one of the main ways we remember from last week that that shows up in our lives is by the killing, the mortification, the killing of the sin of having a grumbling and complaining heart. As we come into verse 16, there's a how to do this, and then there's the strenuous effort that is worth putting into this, and then there's the great rejoicing that is worth doing over this, and that we can start upon even now, although we're not yet in the day of Christ. And the first how is holding fast the word of life. One of the things that the Holy Spirit does for us as he is giving us spiritual life and bringing us to faith in Jesus Christ is that he convinces us that the Bible, having the Bible, is worth the loss of just about anything else. That the Bible is the very words of God and the words by which God is giving us eternal life. So that we will do similarly to what the disciples did when the rest of that generation that just wanted their flesh pleased and Jesus had refused to repeat the feeding of the 5,000 for them. You remember they chased him around the lake and they're trying to talk him into reopening the buffet, as it were. And, you know, what sign do you prove? Do you to prove who you are? Moses gave our fathers manna in the wilderness. But on that particular day, Jesus was presenting them just with himself. He said, my Father gives you, I am the bread of life. My Father gives you the bread of life, which comes down from heaven. And he was saying, look to me, believe in me, feed upon me as your living bread, as it were. And you will never die. If you eat of this bread, you will live and never die. And of course, they just were like in James chapter 4, living for their own pleasure and not to please the Lord Jesus, although they were giving lip service in, out of the idea that maybe they could get something out of him. And of course, he kept increasing the intensity. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you, and so forth. And eventually they were so offended, they all left. And Jesus turns to his disciples and he says, how about you? Are you going to leave too? And you remember what Peter said, where would we go, Lord? You have the words of eternal life. And now what the apostle is urging the Philippian church to do is to be clinging to the word of God with that desire and that conviction that if the whole world turned against them and was leaving Christ, they would stick to Christ because he's the one who has his words. This is the how of sanctification. Christ is the one who sanctifies us. We cannot be sanctified by the greatness of our strenuous effort, as we're about to hear in a moment. Christ is the one who sanctifies us, and he's given us a means of clinging to him, which is clinging to his word. When you hear someone start to draw a distinction, they say, oh, you guys are so serious about theology. I just want to love Jesus. Well, the Jesus of the Bible, the Jesus who can save you, is the one who gives you to cling to him by clinging to his word. And if you think that clinging to his word and being serious about his word is somehow in competition with resting upon Jesus, clinging to Jesus, loving Jesus, then the Jesus who is the object of all of those phrases is a different Jesus than the one in the Bible. He exists as a figment of your and others' imaginations, and he can do nothing for you, and you gain nothing by loving and trusting in and clinging to such a Jesus as that. So he's given to us to cling to him, first of all, by clinging to his word. And it's not easy. There's lots of strenuous effort involved on both those who preach and teach his word and the parts of those who read and hear his word. The apostle uses effort words, holding fast to the word of eternal life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ when I see that you have held fast to Christ by means of holding fast to his word, and he, by his word, has made you children of God without fault, and you're blameless and you're pure in that day, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. So he says, I have been putting forth strenuous effort, running, laboring. These are effort words, action words and effort words. There's effort and action in the Christian life. So those who want to set faith over against effort are not describing the faith of the Bible, because the faith of the Bible doesn't depend upon effort, but it certainly puts forth effort. There are those who depend upon their effort. And if you depend on your effort, you may run and you may labor, but it will be in vain. And if the Apostle Paul put forth this effort, running and laboring, and instead of holding fast to the words of eternal life, the Philippians were even holding fast to their own efforts, then on the last day they would not be blameless and pure, would they? There'd be a bunch of unsaved, self-righteous legalists whose righteousness is nothing before God. In fact, all of it is wickedness, and the righteousness and glory of Jesus would destroy them forever. And the apostles running and laboring as far as it touched preaching and teaching the word to them would have been in vain as far as it concerns them. So sanctification is worth effort. But you can put effort into the wrong thing and it will be empty. So holding fast to the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. But then he says something in verse 17 that makes it sound, we might have thought in verse 16 that he was saying that he is the one who puts in the effort and they just sit under the preaching of Paul or receive the teaching of Paul and just soak it all up. And, you know, I've sat under preaching and teaching that I just wanted to soak all up. And the enjoyment of having the word opened and brought home to the heart. But there's effort that needs to be made in response to the word. There's effort in giving yourself to the word, and there's effort in responding to the word. And you can see that in the comparison between the two parts of the offering in verse 17. He's using a word picture that's borrowed from the Old Testament, in which there's the sacrifice that's made, and you bring the sacrifice and you cut it up and you drain the blood and you throw the blood on the altar and you arrange the pieces and you burn it all up and then you pour the drink offering on top. Well, which part does he say his effort is? Just the drink part on top, right? So if he's just used strenuous effort words to describe his preaching and teaching the word of life to them. And then he turns around and he says, but actually my part is the little part. You are to be putting into this holding fast the word of life by comparison the main sacrifice and service part of this offering picture that he's using. You see how he uses his effort words to turn around on us and say, look at how hard God expects you to run and work in holding fast to his word. Now, it's not because the hardness of our running or the hardness of our working is what produces the life. It's the word by Christ. It's Christ by the word who produces the life. But it is worthy of the effort, and we are commanded to the effort. So, holding fast the word of life, the how of sanctification, and it's worth great effort, but it's also worth great rejoicing. What's one of the reasons that Paul is willing to put in this effort? One of the reasons is he loves the glory of Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, still ringing in our ears from just a few verses ago. He loves the glory of Jesus, but he also loves these ones that Jesus glorifies himself by dying for and by sanctifying. He can't wait for those Philippian believers to have their sanctification be completed, and on the day of Christ that they will shine like the sun. He says, I am going to rejoice so much in that day out of not just what you have become, but the fact that the labor that Jesus gave me to do, he was pleased to use in producing what has happened to you at that day. And as I rejoice for you, you'll rejoice for me. Because we love one another and we love Christ. And so this rejoicing theme, this rejoicing note or theme is struck these three times actually in the passage. Not only verse 16, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, but after he gives this, if I am being poured as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, he repeats it. I am glad and rejoice with you all. Yes, I might be spent, but you better be spending yourselves too. You know, we can very easily memorize, you know, some of these favorite verses like Romans 12:1. Therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, I urge you to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. And it sounds like a nice, sweet thing. A living sacrifice is, well, the old preacher said, you know, the problem with living sacrifices is they like to crawl off the altar. When you are a sacrifice, you have renounced all right to yourself. You have given yourself entirely up unto God. And so this language of sacrifice, he says, well, even if I am a sacrifice on top of your sacrifice, I am glad and rejoice with you all. So verse 16, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. Verse 17, I am glad and rejoice with you all. And then verse 18, for the same reason you also be glad and rejoice with me. That part of what he will receive, the joy that he will receive on the last day, is that he got to be used in their Christian growth, and he on the way to being perfected by the day of Christ, or in the day of Christ, when he says, "Don't you also, in your Christian love to me, want me to have the joy that I will have in that day? Don't you delight in the idea, dear Philippians, of seeing the Apostle Paul in the day of Christ rejoicing?" And so there's this wonderful sharing of joy. Like we were thinking this morning about the sharing of glory and how you can't have that unless Christ has all the glory. Otherwise, you've got to divide up the glory and we fight one another for it. Well, there's also this wonderful sharing of joy. All of us rejoicing in Christ being glorified. We rejoicing in Christ being glorified and those whom he has sanctified in part through the ministry that we had to them. They rejoicing in our rejoicing in the part that God gave us in the ministry to them. And this works, of course, not just elder and pastor teacher to those whom they're teaching the word of life that they hold fast to, but even that ministry we learned from Ephesians 4 several months ago now, is one designed for each of us to be a joint that supplies something, each of us to be a part of the body that has a share in the building up of the whole into the head who is Jesus. So that he sets before, he says, see what great rejoicing sanctification is worthy of. How we ought to delight in the end result at which Christ is aiming through us, which joy we can relish even now as we look forward to it while we're putting in the strenuous effort. So may the Lord bless this word to us, make us hold fast to this part of the word of life so that we may count pursuit of holiness as worth the strenuous effort and see it already as worth great rejoicing over. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this portion of your word. Thank you for the love that you give believers, not only for your own glory, but for one another. And we cry out to you, us too, give us that love for your glory, that desires to cling to you, that clings to you, that clings to your word, that desires that you would be glorified in those whom you have saved, not only by forgiving, but by also sanctifying. Make us to love for one another, to appear as children of God and blameless and pure. Make us to love that we might have a part in that work that you do in one another's lives. Make us to rejoice over what you are doing, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.